Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hello and welcome to Better Living, a show about the people and organizations that make an impact in our area. I'm your host, Nick Carissimi. Two groups on today's show. In the second half of the program, Francie Herridge-Wilson of Neurological Recovery for the Armed Services will join me to discuss the futuristic tech being used to help rehab America's servicemen and women. We start off with an organization recommended by a dear friend of mine. Serenity High is located in McKinney. Their principal, Stephen Issa, joins me in studio. How are you doing today?
Good. Thank you for having me, Nick. I appreciate it.
Well, I really appreciate you coming in. So Serenity is a recovery high school. I asked you before we started exactly how to classify this school, and that's exactly what you said. Explain to me what Serenity is and what you guys do.
We are a recovery high school located in McKinney, Texas, of course. And we not only serve the McKinney community, but we also have 12 partnering districts. That is to say, there are districts outside of McKinney proper that send their students our way as well. A recovery high school, by definition, is a place where students that have a substance abuse disorder, after coming out of treatment, they can look for a school like ours to not only support them in their sobriety, but also help them finish high school.
Now, you said that they have to complete treatment before they are able to go to this school.
Right. That's our model. Students that are suitable for our program must complete at least 30 days of residential treatment. And on the heels of that, then they'll seek enrollment at our school. And many times they're referred to us by their treatment facilities, because we have a great relationship with a number of treatment facilities here locally, as well as some as even far away as Canton, Texas, like Sundown Ranch.
Is it common to have a lag in time, let's say, between treatment and school, or is it a quick transition going from treatment straight into Serenity?
Ideally, there shouldn't be a lag. I think the counselors at the treatment facilities will advise families to do a couple of things. Find a school or a school situation that will support their students or child's sobriety. And in addition to that, they'll also recommend that they get some sort of aftercare in the form of an intensive outpatient program or some counseling on that order.
What are some of the common themes that you're seeing as far as substance abuse? Is it a lot of alcohol? Is it drugs? Is it a mix?
You know, it varies. Right now, we're seeing at Serenity are primarily students with substance abuse disorders in the form of dealing with Xanax. Marijuana is always in the mix, and I say always because it's typically the gateway drug. And then things tend to go forward from there. Of course, we know about the opiate epidemic nationally. We have some of that. Most of the time, the students not only are struggling with a substance abuse disorder, but there's also some mental health challenge in combination with that. Typically, it is anxiety and depression are the top two things. And a lot of times, students, either diagnosed or not, will gravitate towards some substance to help them manage their mental health challenge.
I do want to talk more about the therapeutic programs and services that you offer your students. But before we get to that, I'm interested in just how you're able to help these kids have a normal high school experience with all the things that they've got going on in their lives.
Great question. Well, first of all, what makes us different is just the fact that aside from our normal coursework and daily schedule that is typical of any high school, is that we have on-campus NA and AA meetings. And that is one of the things that makes us a recovery high school, along with all the other recovery high schools that our school happens to be connected with. Twice a week, we have those meetings, and they're an hour for each meeting. For as a matter of fact, on Tuesdays, we have a 12-step AA meeting. And on Thursdays, we have either NA or Drug Anonymous meetings, or DA meetings. Those meetings are supplemented by what I call our guys and girls groups, where I have meetings that are specific for the young ladies and specific for our guys, because While their recovery and substance abuse disorder has some similarities, how they're responding to it and the support that they need going forward can be uniquely different from what a guy needs and what the girls need. So we do that as well. Also offer on our campus yoga and meditation course once a week as well. And a big part of our program, which helps our students rebuild their self-esteem, as a matter of fact, they're doing it today because every Friday, our students are involved in community service. And the biggest way that we do that is by volunteering in the district's elementary schools and also in our early childhood center.
Why is that important? What have you found that that imparts to these students?
You know, it connects with as much as anything else. When I stepped into education, I did so as a third grade teacher. And I found that my experience as an elementary educator has greatly informed how I go forward and how I go about my business as working in secondary education, first and foremost, but even just as importantly, working as an educator in a recovery school environment. So when our students come to us, in many instances, their self-esteem isn't what it may have been or what it could be. And what better way to do that than by giving of oneself and to help you reestablish who you are and your benefit and your, I shouldn't say your benefit, but how your, it connects you with your purpose or what your purpose could potentially be.
What have you used from elementary school teaching to now? Because you also made it sound like you kind of use it in normal everyday life as well.
Right. You know, it's interesting. I had the great pleasure working with third graders, of course, who are 8-year-olds. And they taught me, first and foremost, the value of just saying I'm sorry. There were times when I was a third grade teacher that I raised my voice and I knew that's not really the best way to communicate with them. And so if not that day, then the next day I would come in and apologize to them for communicating to them in that way. And the other part of it is, strangely enough, the solutions for working with someone that's eight-year-old or someone that's 16 or 17-year-old is pretty much the same in that all they're really looking for someone to listen and to establish a authentic relationship with them. Because as educators, you can't really do anything unless you establish that first. Then you have someone that you can teach and share something with. Because I've found, both with my third graders and working with high school students, I learn a lot from them. And they seem surprised when I tell them that, but I very much mean it.
I was going to ask, were the third graders kind of shocked when you started apologizing to them?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because it's interesting. They were surprised, but in a different way, but in the same way, I should say. High school students are also like that, particularly my group, because they haven't had the best interaction with authority figures. So when you have a teacher saying, hey, listen, I really, and the kid could be wrong as two left feet, but it's not about blame. It's not about judgment. It's about establishing, again, an authentic relationship with them. And it takes them aback. But what the beauty of it is once I've got it on that level, then we have something we can really go forward with in a genuine way. And this student is more inclined to come talk to me about things that trouble them. And really, I'll tell them this all the time. I don't have all the answers. I'm not going to profess that. But I will do one thing for sure you can count on. I will listen.
I do want to talk more about the school, but I'm interested in just the idea of what you talked about. You seem to have a very calming presence. You seem very patient. Has that always been a part of your personality, or is this something that you have developed over the years working with kids?
Right. No, I wish I could tell you I was born with it. I don't think so. I think I've come by it sort of organically, but once I recognize the value of it, then I just try to refine it. And in Serenity or in education period, I think if we can stay calm when there's a challenge that, you know, children face, it benefits them. Getting angry with them, yeah, they've had enough of that. I mean, they probably get that at home with their parents in some measure. But we should always be a place where students can feel safe in all manner, physically, emotionally, and even spiritually, because I think a big part of what we do at Serenity, there is that part of spirituality that I speak on, not from a religious side, but mostly just so that they can try and connect with who they are internally so that they can stay sober. Because it really, I know this may sound a little bit corny, but what we do as a school is we try to save lives.
Stephen Issa is the principal of Serenity High. Their website, serenity.mckinneyisd.net. What type of student goes to Serenity? We know it is going to be a 9th through 12th grader that has completed a 30-day residential rehab clinic. Other than that, who is coming in here?
Just about everybody, because as folks know, if they've done anything with regard to trying to do some form of awareness where drug use and abuse is concerned, you know, it doesn't limit itself to one group culturally, ethnically, or otherwise, socioeconomically. So we have pretty much everyone coming to our school at various times.
Are the students that are showing up, do they really want this education, or is it just a great place for them to go to high school, but in an environment that's safe for them?
I wish I could tell you that that's the case. No, I would say a fair share of our students come to us kind of kicking and screaming, because if they had their way, not the majority, but definitely a handful, they would go right back to the high school they came from or the place they came from where all the problems started.
I'm going to say that that's a disaster right there.
Exactly. It's like putting a rat in a cheese factory. Invariably, you know, you're going to go that route. But they come out of treatment with somewhat of a misguided notion, not from anyone else, but in their own heads, that they can go back to their high school, stay sober, and be with their old friends. And
they're fixed.
Exactly. And it won't happen. And if it's not them, sometimes the parents will enable that kind of behavior or thinking. But the best thing they can do, of course, is try and find a sober environment where there are other peers like them that they can support their own sobriety.
You said some come in kicking and screaming, but after a while, do they start to understand the opportunity they have? Do they start to embrace it?
You're exactly right. They don't get it right away. I think one of the biggest reasons for that is that we're small. I mean, I've got probably rocking about maybe 25 students to 30 students at our high point. Because we're designed to be small, and the environment.
That's a lot smaller than I was expecting.
Oh, yeah.
A lot smaller than
absolutely.
I would have thought.
Well, what that does is it allows me, as well as my staff, to really develop a relationship with them in a way that they would not get if they were in a larger school setting. It's set up that way. It's the model that's been working for us. I mean, school's going to celebrate its 20th anniversary in October. And we started with one student, right, back in October of 1999. I wasn't there at the time. I'm completing my 12th year there.
Wow.
But along the way, I've seen a lot of changes. But the size, being small like that, is very important.
Has it increased? I mean, obviously it has increased since your first student. Mm-hmm. But is it something where you guys are always getting more, or is this 25 to 30 kind of your butter zone?
You know, that's what we're shooting for. We got up into the low 20s this school year, stayed there for a little while, because our student body tends to be more fluid. I might have 22 on Monday, and by Friday I'm at 18. Sometimes students need some more support, so I will recommend that they get some more help. Also, in part of that, because we're a self-paced learning environment, students are sometimes they finish their coursework a little earlier, and once that's done, they're no longer required to attend school. But they'll stay connected with us through our drug testing program, and also which prepares them for graduation, which we have twice a year. The reason for that is if I've got a student that completes their coursework, say, in latter part of October, early November, well, we wouldn't want to ask them to wait around until May, which, you know, of course, a lot of graduations are happening this week, as a matter of fact, in early June. I might not ever see them again for a variety of reasons. So therefore, we have a graduation in January.
Are the students receiving a GED, or is it a typical high school diploma?
Great question. It is a Texas Department of Texas Education endorsed diploma.
A little bit more on the low number of students. I saw on the website that you guys really talk about your low student-to-teacher ratio.
Mm-hmm.
So if you've got 25 to 30 kids, mm-hmm. how many teachers do you have at the school?
Right now, 3.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, so we're looking at, you know, probably a teacher ratio of, say, 7, 8, 9 students per teacher.
Are they broken up in typical divisions where you have 9th and 10th and 11th and 12th?
No,
I mean,
not at all.
It seems like that. You might have a kid that's got 2 kids in the class.
Yeah, no, not at all. As a matter of fact, when a student comes to us out of treatment, I'm very glad to say that wherever they were in a particular course, say if it's algebra 1A, first semester algebra, we'll help them pick up right where they left off in that course and help them complete it. We will not ask them to start over. So as a consequence, my math instructor, may have someone in that algebra first semester course, but at the same time, she may be involved with teaching someone in geometry, also someone in math models. So she may have all of them there at her table working with them all one-on-one in an instructional situation like
that. It seems to me you guys focus on making sure that these kids are always moving forward. There is no possibility of feeling stagnant or moving back.
The idea, when we're self-paced, we definitely want them to move forward. We have a pretty fair number of our courses are online as well. So therefore, school doesn't shut down. We encourage them to continue to do some schoolwork after school and if not on the weekends.
I was going to ask, is it a year-round school? I could see that summer's off could be a bad idea.
Yes, it is. No, we are not a year-round school. As a matter of fact, our last day is coming up. It's next Thursday. And so I will have an exit interview with all the students. And not a consequence, but the flip side of that is that we will also have what are called recommitment interviews. So if a student wants to come back, because no student is guaranteed readmittance into Serenity in the fall. We're a school of choice, so I don't have to take everybody. And there have been times when I've had interviews with students and their families, of course, are there during the interview, that they're just not ready for the program.
What markers are you seeing that say, you know what, this isn't for you? Because I'm guessing that your, you know, rejection of them, let's say, is not really about the kid. It's about the other students in the school.
You're exactly right, Nick. The reason I feel that way, and it's done more in an intuitive sense, is that I'm not the program, which is what I explained to this prospective student and their family. The students are the program, so they have to be the ones to buy in to what we're doing on a daily basis. We operate with three core values: integrity, which is important because you have to be able to kind of walk the walk and do what you say. Humility. Humility is an important thing because we talk about that because that's kind of new for a lot of our students, being humble and all of that and exercising that state of mind. Because when things get tough, which it will in recovery, you need to be willing to reach out for help, right? Come talk to me, have a sponsor, whatever it is you need. And then the last thing is commitment. A commitment to your sobriety, but also being a commitment to being willing to help someone else. So those things being said, and our students also have to write an essay talking about what their understanding of those principles are and how they think, how those principles will support them in their sobriety going forward. So when a student comes to us and seeks enrollment, it's through that interview, which takes on the order of about an hour. When we talk about their road to recovery, their addiction, everything else. And I'm also semi-interviewing the parent that's in the room as well. I mean, how involved are they going to be? I've learned from being an elementary educator, this is where I came to understand it, the value of families' involvement in their child's education. Well, in a recovery high school, it seems to be exponentially so, because without their help, I can't help their child stay sober, because we drug test. And that involves the parents. The parents will come to the school.
Twice a month, right?
Yes, at least twice a month. Twice every 4 weeks, actually. And so they come in, they'll purchase a test from us, and they are required to go in the restroom with their son or daughter and validate what's going on so that when they bring the test out and we activate it, it's considered legitimate. Now, I know folks say, well, their parents might enable or compromise that testing process, but that's also further supported by the district's involvement in our school by providing random drug tests, which the district pays for. So this company comes in and randomly drug tests our students once or twice a month. So I have no idea when they're going to show up. We just provide them with a student list, and they create their list off of that, and they'll call sometimes the day before, sometimes 2 days hence, say, hey, we're on our way. We're going to come over and test your students.
How have your human lie detector skills become over the years? Because what you're talking about is your job is basically just a judge of character.
Exactly.
In addition to all the other duties that a normal principal would have at a high school, you're really having to play mind games and figure out what's going on. So how are you with that now?
You know, I've gotten better over time because naturally sort of want to give a person the benefit of a doubt. But I've learned the course of my experience at Serenity that folks that suffer from a substance abuse disorder, while they're in their addiction, there are a couple things that they exercise to the umpteenth degree, and they become masters at manipulation and lying. And so we can tell when, or I should say I can tell, when they are gravitating back toward their addiction, because we watch them. That's, Nick, that comes from the smallness of our school. We get to know them and how they are when they're right. So when they're not right, we watch. When I say we, my staff is pretty trained in this regard too. And when we see drastic changes in their behavior, their level of civility, those things, those are red flags. Sleeping in class or being prone to sleep in class. And we make the parents aware of all of these things. And one of the things I'm very proud of among many that we do, we provide positive feedback calls to the families. We'll just pick a handful of students and the staff will call back to calls up. And it's like, so-and-so had a great week, either academically or in their development, you know, random acts of kindness, that sort of thing. So that when we have to make that difficult phone call to the parents, well, we've already got all this, you know, goodwill in the bank. So when we call them, they're all in. And that helps. But yeah, I like that. No question of my lie detector skills. Yeah, I've gotten pretty good, but it's mostly based on behavior and just watching them and our interaction with them.
Did you have any experience with substance abuse or substance abuse counseling? Was this something that you learned simply through working at Serenity?
Absolutely. That's where I learned it all. I didn't even know, like most people, that schools like Serenity existed. As a matter of fact, Serenity is a charter member of the Association of Recovery Schools. And as a matter of fact, I have the pleasure of being on the executive board of the Association of Recovery Schools. And through my connection with them, and we're always talking about how we can do what we do better, because it is life and death. As a matter of fact, there's a conference in Houston in July. And all of us will be together as we do once a year, you know, like we get together in some different location around the country, which brings us all together and we have a chance to share best practices, challenges, and so forth.
Are schools like Serenity becoming more popular?
I think so, but the challenge for schools like Serenity is funding. You know, fortunately, we have the support of McKinney ISD and our partner in districts, which make it possible for us to have 9 years of
How did that relationship start? Was it always a part of McKinney ISD?
Yes. Right from
really?
Right from the very start. We had a family in McKinney recognize the need. In fact, one of the members in that family is a school board member on the board of trustees. And you know, they did some fact-finding and so forth, checked out a sobriety high school up in the Minneapolis area, brought that model back, presented it to the board and how it could happen. And that's when we got it off the ground, like I said, with one student and one teacher, one principal, and going forward ever since then. And
nearly 20 years later in October.
Nearly 20 years, exactly.
Is there a time limit for the students to come in? So let's say, can you take a senior that comes in just senior year, or do you need them there more time?
Yeah, that's a really great question. I had the good fortune through one of our school resource officers, was about not quite a month ago, because we just had graduation for the spring semester last Friday. And this young lady came to us not quite a month ago, and she was referred to us from one of the bigger high schools in McKinney because of her relationship with one of our school resource officers. He said, listen, I know you're struggling, because she confessed to him and so forth.
Yeah.
And she had some sobriety, had some residential treatment, but unfortunately went back to the regular high school and did okay for a little bit, but then she wasn't okay. And she let him know about it. He said, you know, you should probably go over to Serenity. I happen to know the resource officer. She gave the young lady my name. She came over. We met. We did an interview. And that young lady graduated last Friday. And she didn't have much to do. We only had to, I think she needed one or two more classes or half of one or two classes. We got her done. But by the other side of that coin is that I had 8 graduates last Friday, and there were a couple in that group that came to us that were in the late in their 10th or early in their 11th grade. But because they are our cell-paced learning environment. They came in and got after it, and now they're high school graduates. Because ideally, we're not really set up for a student to come and be there for 4 years. You should be able to do our program in about 2.5 years. Mm-hmm. And I've discovered sort of the hard way, if we have students that are there for 3+ years or more, they start to lose reverence for the program, and they should come in, get after it, and move on.
So you've been there for 12 years. You're talking about the graduates. What have you learned from Serenity High? How has this job, this school, these kids, how have they impacted you?
Wow, Nick, that's an easy question to answer. You know, I love that question, though, in all honesty. First of all, I love what I do. I am very fortunate to be doing such fulfilling work. It's incredibly challenging from one day to the next. By virtue of that, it's incredibly satisfying, highly unpredictable. I don't know. I learned this somewhere along the line that if I could put myself in a position where I could give of myself, help others out, then the satisfaction in my work would take care of itself. Because I've had the corporate job and all of that. And it's just, I used to ask myself at the end of my workday, you know, how am I benefiting others? And I mean that. I know it sounds a little corny. That was the question I asked myself. And I think once I got real with it, it put me on the road to working in education. And here I am 12 years later, having the wonderful responsibility of leading a recovery high school and just being a part of the recovery community in that way.
If someone listening wants to be a part of Serenity High or know someone that they think would be a good candidate, or if they just want to help or volunteer, mm-hmm. what's the best way for people to do that?
They can check us out on our website at serenityhigh.org, or they're welcome to just give us a call. If you go on the website, all the information about the school is there. We just updated the website recently, and so there's plenty of information there. As a matter of fact, a lot of folks that support us on a daily basis, when I mentioned the NANA meetings, those folks volunteer their time. The folks that I have that lead our guys and girls groups, I happen to have clinicians that do that, that are involved in different treatment facilities. They know about our school. They love what our program is about. And they dedicate a little of their time every week to come around and help us out. So, yeah.
Stephen Issa is the principal of Serenity High. You can find them online at serenityhigh.org or give them a call at 469-302-7830. I really appreciate your time today. It was great speaking with you.
Nick, thank you for the opportunity to talk about Serenity High. I really appreciate your time, too.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.